This is DW News live from Berlin. Tonight, another close call with death, but Obamacare survives again. For the third time, the U.S. Supreme Court dismisses a Republican-led attempt to kill the Affordable Health Care Act. The decision means that millions will keep their health care coverage. Also coming up tonight, China's crackdown on Hong Kong. Now journalists appear to be Beijing's target. Editorial staff at the pro-democracy newspaper Apple Daily were arrested today in a massive police raid. And China celebrating as three of its astronauts dock at the country's new space station. It marks yet another challenge by China to U.S. dominance in outer space. I'm Brent Goff. It's good to have you with us. The U.S. Supreme Court has dismissed yet again a Republican-led attempt to kill what is known as Obamacare. The decision means that affordable health care insurance for tens of millions of Americans will remain intact. The justices ruled 7-2 that Texas and 17 other states that mounted the challenge did not have standing in the case. Republicans have made numerous unsuccessful attempts to strike down the Obama-era health care law since it was passed back in 2010. All right, let's go over now to Washington. Our correspondent, Oliver Sallet, he's following this for us. Good evening to you, Oliver. I mean, this is a big story. How significant is this ruling?
It's a big deal, Brent. President Biden already reacted and welcomed the decision of the Supreme Court, which is not a big surprise because it has been one of the most prestigious projects of the Obama administration that brought healthcare, health insurance to 31 million Americans as of now. And subsequently, Donald Trump, in his term, put it very high on his agenda, trying to get rid of it. The Republicans have always argued that, that it's too expensive, that it's an individual decision if you want to be insured or not. The Democrats, however, have always been saying that they want to protect low-income families, that it's unfair if people don't have an insurance, especially those with pre-existing conditions. Now, those Republican states that you mentioned, 17, including Texas, sued, took this to the Supreme Court. In particular, suing a penalty that people, that Americans had to pay when they were not insured, but the Supreme Court said no, that those states don't have the legal standing.
I mean, and we've been here before. This is not the first time that the court has rebuffed Republican attacks on Obamacare, is it?
No, not at all. This is the third time. In fact, there has been a first attempt in 2012, followed by another one in 2015. And just today, the third one, the third decision to keep it in place. It has always been a different legal reasoning underlying, but the ultimate goal always was to take Obamacare down. The first time was a very close decision. One conservative justice, John Roberts, sided at the time in 2012 with the liberals. Now it has been a lot more clearer. It has been 7-2 votes, although Donald Trump appointed three conservative judges to the Supreme Court. So we have a highly conservative Supreme Court that voted in favor of Obamacare. It's a very clear decision that we're hearing here in Washington.
As they say, Oliver, in baseball, three strikes and you're out. So is this the final word on the Affordable Health Care Act?
Well, it's still U.S. politics and not sports, Brent. So for now, of course, you're right. It looks like it's done, at least for this attempt. But the GOP will certainly circle back and try it again. However, with every verdict, the hurdle will be a bit higher. So they will have to find new legal reasoning to come up with a new case and bring this to the Supreme Court. So it will certainly not get easier. Also, the law itself, Obamacare, is getting more and more popular. 31 millions have Obamacare, are insured under this law already, and there will be more and more resistance coming from voters as well.
All right, Oliver Sallet with the latest tonight in Washington. Oliver, as always, thank you. China's crackdown on dissent in Hong Kong is intensifying. 500 police officers raided the newsroom of the pro-democracy newspaper Apple Daily this morning and arrested five executives, including the paper's two top editors. Authorities accused the paper of breaching the national security law that was imposed by Beijing.
A crackdown on journalists in broad daylight. Hong Kong police raided the offices of the pro-democracy newspaper Apple Daily and arrested several executives, including the editor-in-chief, at their homes. Officials accused the journalists of being involved in an illegal conspiracy, although not a secret one. Their transgressions relate to their public support for sanctions on China. Our investigations found that through Apple Daily's newspaper and online platform, there were around 30 articles in both Chinese and English which requested foreign countries and institutions to impose sanctions on Hong Kong as well as China, dating back to 2019. At a press conference, Hong Kong Security Chief John Lee warned other journalists present not to defend those arrested.
It is your choice whether you will regard them as part of you who go about your journalistic work lawfully and properly.
Apple Daily belongs to the media conglomerate of Jimmy Lai, who was the first high-profile Hong Konger to be arrested under the new security law imposed by Beijing. Apple Daily has provided extensive coverage of the crackdown on the pro-democracy movement. As of Thursday evening, its website was up and running. The paper's staff published an editorial there, reassuring their readers that, though we are facing a sweeping clampdown on our publication, the staff of Apple Daily will hold fast to our duties faithfully and press on till the end to see the arrival of dawn.
Tom Grundy is editor-in-chief of the Hong Kong Free Press. I asked him about Apple Daily's next steps now that their assets have been frozen and their equipment confiscated.
They want to say, you know, the show goes on. For them to put out a print edition, particularly tonight, is quite symbolic and important because it doesn't particularly make money. They shut down the Taiwanese print edition just weeks ago. But with it being the last pro-democracy daily in Hong Kong, they're going to be putting out 500,000 copies overnight. We've got a staff member there this evening to witness this, because the way Hong Kongers tend to respond, as they did last August, is to basically wipe the shelves of the Apple Daily in the morning. In lieu of there being any protests at the moment, particularly during COVID, this is one way Hong Kongers have found to express their support and their discontent, I imagine. So for them, the show goes on, and for readers, they have said that they will buy Apple Daily even if it's blank.
All right, let's take a look now at some of the other stories that are making headlines around the world. French prosecutors have requested a six-month jail term for former President Nicolas Sarkozy. He's on trial in Paris for illegal campaign finance. Sarkozy denies being responsible for the massive overspending on his failed 2012 re-election bid. It's alleged that he and his party spent about double the amount allowed and then tried to hide the cost. Ivory Coast former president Laurent Gbagbo has flown back home after being acquitted of war crimes at the International Criminal Court. He was forced from power in 2011 after a months-long conflict sparked by his refusal to accept electoral defeat. Gbagbo spent a decade in exile. An investigation has begun in India after a baby girl was found alive in a box floating on the Ganges River. Now, the box contained a horoscope giving the date and time of her birth and her name, Ganga, which is the Hindi word for the holy river. Doctors estimate that she is about 1 month old. A Chinese spacecraft carrying three people has docked successfully with the country's new space station. They blasted off about 6 hours earlier to take part in a three-month mission to set up experiments and prepare for a series of spacewalks. This latest mission is considered a significant step forward in establishing Beijing as a major player in outer space.
Another success for China's space program. The Shenzhou 12 rocket blasts off to dock with the country's new space station. For the next 3 months, the crew of three will live in a module slightly larger than a city bus, carrying out experiments, going on spacewalks, and preparing the station for completion next year. China's space agency will be monitoring the astronauts to see how they handle the time away from Earth. That's the separation
The three-month mission is a long-term human-crewed space flight, which requires astronauts to stay in a relatively narrow and confined environment. It takes time to adapt to the weightlessness. They will also have to cope with an environment filled with noise and vibration. It will be uncomfortable, and these effects will have a cumulative impact over time. China's space program is mostly homegrown. The United States Congress forbade NASA from cooperating with China 10 years ago. It cited concerns over the Chinese space program's secretive nature and its connections to the military. The International Space Station, launched in 1998, has hosted astronauts from over a dozen different nations. But for China, it's off limits. Beijing's response? We'll build one ourselves. While the ISS reaches the end of its lifespan, China plans to complete its station by next year. And when it does, it will be in a position to decide who can come aboard. At this stage in construction, we're not yet considering foreign astronaut participation. But foreign astronauts are certainly going to enter the Chinese space station one day. There are a number of countries that have expressed a desire to do that, and we will be open to it in the future. While there's still work to be done on the space station, China is already looking ahead to its next project, a proposed lunar base that it's planning together with Russia.
All right, in football, the Netherlands continued their successful start to Euro 2020 with a win over Austria. The Dutch took the lead in the first half through a penalty, and after halftime, Denzel Dumfries added a second goal to confirm the win and leave the Netherlands with 6 points from two games. Denmark's Christian Eriksen will have a defibrillator fitted after he suffered a cardiac arrest during his country's opening game at Euro 2020 on Saturday. On the pitch, his teammates fell to a 2-1 defeat against Belgium. Kevin De Bruyne notched a goal and an assist after coming on as a substitute, canceling out Denmark's early opening goal. All right, joining me here at the big table now to talk about Denmark's match against Belgium is Dave Brannick from DW Sports. So, Dave, before we talk about the football, let's talk about Christian Eriksen. I mean, did his teammates and the fans of Copenhagen, did they have a message for him today?
Yeah, they certainly did. I mean, it was one of the most emotionally resonant matches I've seen in a long time, and the atmosphere was truly electrifying. At the 10th minute, both teams agreed to pause play and have a round of applause with teams and fans just cheering him on and letting him know that the entire stadium and all of Denmark had his back. And I think, really, it was one of the more spirited moments we've seen so far in the tournament.
And despite the emotion, Denmark could not get a result. How did the match play out?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's important to note is this intensity really carried onto the pitch in the beginning moments of the match. Denmark looked great. They were fired up by this moment. They scored a goal just 2 minutes into the game, thanks to Yusuf Poulsen. And you really wouldn't have blamed them for looking a bit shell-shocked. They've had what is truly a harrowing past couple days. It's not easy to just sort of get back to the game, and they came out very strong. Belgium, for their part, struggled a bit, but they put on Kevin De Bruyne at halftime, and he really pulled the strings for them. He assisted on their opening goal from Thorgan Hazard and then scored a beautiful winner himself. So really, although the fans had their back and it was a momentous occasion for Denmark, Belgium came out with the win.
And where do the two teams stand now? I mean, do Denmark have any chance of progressing?
Yeah, I mean, Denmark are winless in their first two matches. They lost them both, so they're in a tough spot. But in this tournament, third-place teams do have a chance. So on Monday, they'll face Russia, and, you know, they'll need a win, but they can get through. For Belgium, they're already cruising through into the round of 16 and looking quite good.
All right. Dave Brannick from DW Sports. Dave, thank you. In tennis, women's world number two, Naomi Osaka, has pulled out of the upcoming Grand Slam at Wimbledon in order to spend time with friends and family. Osaka recently said that she has struggled with anxiety and depression after she withdrew from the French Open. Her agent says that she will be ready to return to the court in time for the Olympics, which take place in her home country, Japan. This is DW News, DW Business News with Stephen Beardsley is up next. Stick around. He'll be right back.